In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
If we claim that at our chrismation we are each sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the very indwelling of God within, and we do claim this, if we are each sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit in a way that is both universal, commonly shared among humanity, and dare I say, all creation, that we're all getting the same gift, the very same Spirit the apostles received, and also the Holy Spirit is given in a way unique and personal to each recipient, a gift perfectly tailored to who that person is. If we are all recipients of the Holy Spirit and therefore partakers of the divine nature, then that gift will be reflected in our lives. It's very difficult to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and not be changed at least a little bit. St. John Chrysostom notes that if someone is to go into the shop of a perfume maker and not buy anything, they're still going to come out smelling a little bit like perfume. You can't help but get changed a little bit when you are sealed in the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so think of it. If a resistant person is changed a little bit, the person who truly opens their heart to this divine gift is going to discover an entirely different way of living. Just last Sunday, we celebrated the great event of Pentecost. We would say co-equal to the coming of the Son of God in the person of Jesus Christ is the coming of the Holy Spirit to this world. First in the form of that rushing mighty wind and those tongues of fire on the apostles, and then through them ultimately dwelling in the soul of every person who wants this gift. And we've been basking all week in the celebration of this event, this gift of more abundant life. And then today, this first Sunday after Pentecost, we celebrate the Feast of All Saints. All Saints is a natural extension of the celebration of Pentecost. If Pentecost is the celebration of the giving of the Holy Spirit, All Saints is the celebration of the receiving of the Holy Spirit, a celebration of those who have partaken of the divine nature and now live a very new life, a more abundant life. People that we heard in today's epistle reading that Steve read for us, people who suffer all manner of persecution, all manner of suffering, and never lose their faith in Jesus Christ. And we have a word, a term for people who put their faith in Christ Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We call this kind of person a saint. Simply put, a saint. In Greek, a holy one. And maybe it'd be good to have a little review here, because often when we think of saints, or if we're asked, what is a saint, or who are the saints, we can easily get bogged down in thoughts or descriptions of people named in the Bible or listed on a church calendar. People who lived long ago and far away, people depicted in icons and hymns, processes of recognition and canonization. And to be sure, those people are saints. Those the church glorifies as saints have a prominent and holy recognition within the body of Christ. But we can't truly understand what's being recognized in these amazing people until we first remember the more basic and universal meaning of saint. Simply put, a saint is someone who places their faith in Jesus Christ, is baptized into the Savior's death and resurrection, is sealed with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and who walks in the newness of life. Or perhaps more accurately for most of us, stumbles through their way in the newness of life. But notice we did not say that a saint has to be perfect or sinless. We did not say they have to be formally recognized or famous or even dead or even dead. A person does not become a saint when they die or when they are canonized or glorified. It would miss the mark to say Olga of Alaska became a saint last year in 2025. Yes, Olga was canonized, was glorified last June, but she was already a saint her whole life. She was a saint in the way she lived. It's just that the formal recognition took place last year, which was for our benefit. So we would remember who she was while she lived and dwelt with us. Now in the New Testament, Paul addresses letters to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints at Philippi, to the saints at Achaia, to the saints at Colossae. These are not letters to dead people. These are letters to the living people in that church. Scripture, therefore, calls the faithful of the church saints. Same with liturgy. At the little entrance, the priest blesses the entrance of the saints. And that's you and me entering into worship in that hour. And this is not just some cerebral or academic exercise. It's vital in order for us to understand those glorified souls that we call the saints, that they were first ordinary people. They were ordinary people, day-to-day believers, just like the rest of us. And if we don't start with the ordinary, we will miss the miracle of the Holy Spirit. We will miss everything. We won't see how ordinary people who partake of the divine nature slowly and surely change as they walk and as they stumble in the newness of life. Those beautiful souls that God has filled and glorified spent vast chunks of their lives just like us, but in ways unique to them, with all their glories and all their foibles. And yet they did that without losing their faith in Jesus Christ. And that brings us to us, to you. Have you ever said or thought something like this? Well, I'm no saint. Ever had a thought like that? Careful. Be very, very careful about saying that. Because if you have put your faith in Christ Jesus and have been sealed in the Holy Spirit, you might be in grave error, or at least mistaken when you say, I'm no saint. I'm no saint. Work with me here for a minute. Have you ever read a fairy tale or a story where a downtrodden person finds out they're actually royalty or a wizard? And they don't believe it at first. They deny the possibility that they're a prince or a princess. They say things like, it can't be me. I mean, just look at this downtrodden life I'm living. That's what's going on when you say, I'm no saint. Be careful not to deny your royalty simply because of the current life that you have been leading. Now that doesn't mean I go around with shoulders puffed and say, look at me, I'm a saint. You know, simply because there's error in one direction doesn't mean there can't also be error in the opposite direction. But true sainthood is love. True sainthood is accepting and receiving a gift that is not ours in the first place, but becomes ours by grace. This gift of divinity, sainthood is accepting this gift of divinity with a humble and grateful heart. That narrow middle road between denial and pride is to say with a sense of awe, and maybe even a feeling of incompetence, to say, I have been given a gift. I am now the custodian of something miraculous. What am I going to do with it? How am I going to let it change me? And how can I walk and stumble in the newness of life? If we are each sealed with a gift of the Holy Spirit in a way that is both universal to humanity and unique to myself, if each one of us are truly partakers of the divine nature, that gift will be reflected within us. It's very difficult to receive the divinity of the Holy Spirit and not be changed at least a little bit. But the person who truly opens their heart to this gift is going to discover an entirely different way of living. Amen.